You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We're joined, I'm very pleased to say, by Lord Pearson of Rannoch, a member of the House of Lords in the United Kingdom, a longtime associate of the great former Prime Minister of his country, Margaret Thatcher, a former businessman and an extraordinary voice of clarity and courage about matters involving the insurgency, as I think of it, now underway in his country at the hands of Sharia supremacists. And Lord Pearson, you were talking about abrogation, a critically important point. You've also been exploring in the House of Lords, with some mixed results, the two other sort of central tenets of this whole program that are also contributing to this danger you're facing now, and so are we. Please, tell us about those.
Yes, but I think we should be allowed to talk about these things and learn about them openly instead of them being completely taboo and you can't touch them. And they are, the first, obviously we've mentioned abrogation, the second would be taqiyya, which is Muslims being encouraged to lie and deceive their hosts when they're in a minority in a host country in order to advance Islam. And the other one is al-Hijra, which orders the Muslims to follow the example of Muhammad in 627 after he'd moved to Medina, when his religion was strong enough for him to order anyone who didn't join to go into exile or to be killed. And he killed hundreds of them. In 627, he killed, 500 Jews in one afternoon. And then Islam went on to conquer most of the known world. I mean, this idea that it's a sort of defensive religion doesn't apply historically. The Crusades, in fact, were historically a response to 400 years of Muslim aggression, and they were obviously horrid on both sides. So I think we should... Now, I'm not a Muslim scholar. All I'm saying is I think we should be allowed to talk about all this stuff and debate it and have it in the open with peaceful Muslim friends.
Do tell us a little bit about Sadiq Khan, the chap who is now the elected mayor of London. The role he is playing, is it constructive? And anything else that would shed light on whether he seems to be part of the solution to the problem or perhaps part of the problem itself?
Well, he and other Muslim leaders in our country are obviously condemning these atrocities which we've been suffering, but they're not coming up with a solution. And also, it is true that in our country, only one in eight of the tip-offs to our security services come from within our Muslim communities. Therefore, somehow, we've got to get our peaceful Muslims to stand up and be counted and to move against their violent co-religionists instead of pretending that they've nothing to do with Islam, when of course they have.
As you examine what's happening here, what are the implications for the elections that will be held on the 8th in your country? Is it possible that a lunatic leftist by the name of Jeremy Corbyn, who now leads the Labour Party, could actually prosper in the face of what would be vastly more problematic should he come to power?
Well, I think that's unlikely, because he has voted against every single one of the attempts that we've made in the past to put some of these Muslim potential terrorists under strict surveillance with a tag on their leg and all that sort of stuff. And how long did the tag stay on and so on. I mean, our political establishment has made a sort of pathetic attempt to get to grips with this problem, and Jeremy Corbyn's been against all of it. Mark you, Theresa May wasn't all that brilliant either. A colleague of mine in the Lords, Baroness Cox, had a very good bill in the Lords, which would have, in effect, outlawed Sharia law, particularly in its treatment of women and gays and so on. And Theresa May was Home Secretary at the time, and she refused to support it. So I'm afraid, I think our entire sort of political class is guilty of not wanting to look at this thing as it really is, and of not wanting to get into the open the realities of Islam. And I do not mean Islamism. I mean Islam, I'm afraid.
Well, as you look at the government's policies, both those Theresa May was pursuing as Home Secretary and now as Prime Minister, one of them at the core is this concept called PREVENT. Could you just very quickly describe how that's been working, and is that part of what needs to be overhauled?
Well, it hasn't really been working because the Muslims communities have been allowed to say that it's unfair and discriminates against them and makes the Muslims even less cooperative than they would have been without it. So it's a sort of superficial panacea that our political leaders have tried to apply to the problem, but it's had absolutely no effect, as we see with these results before our eyes. So I think we should do, I mean, I'm thinking of putting down a bill after the Queen's opened Parliament again on the 19th of June, I'm thinking of putting down a bill to require all school lessons and all university courses in the whole of the United Kingdom to be held in English and to be inspected in English. Because, of course, if you want to look into the root of this problem, you've got to go to the madrasas, the schools attached to every mosque. And how much hate is being poured out there into the minds of young people? And the trouble with Islam is that it hasn't got a pope. There isn't one person you can sort of get hold of because it's so diffuse between its various sects. It's like a sort of octopus. So I'm thinking of saying, look, let's have at least our schools in English and let us inspect them in English.
This seems the bare minimum in terms of exposing the character of what's going on inside these communities. But it would also presume, I think, that there be greater surveillance within the mosques as well, that there be a degree of monitoring what's happening in your prison systems, where a lot of this radicalization seems to be taking place, as is true here. And I think we are not without fault. I think many of the same problems that you've described, Lord Pearson, are very much in evidence in the United States as well. Remains very much to be seen how they'll fare, but we very much appreciate your time. I know you did want to plug a website that you consider to be valuable, as do I. Would you just say a word about that before we go?
Yeah, well, the Religion of Peace. It's worth going into Google and dialing up the Religion of Peace. It's not for the faint-hearted, but it does have the most amazing statistics about the realities of Islam and about the number of Islamic attacks that there have been. Since 9/11, 212,000 people have actually been killed at the rate of 34 per day. That's about five attacks, Muslim attacks of one kind or another, per day since 9/11 all over the planet. I mean, this is the reality of what we're dealing with. It's worth a read. I recommend it. And it's been banned. It's been banned in the House of Lords, I may say. We can't get in the British Parliament, the House of Lords and Commons, we actually can't get the Religion of Peace anymore because it's been taken off the air.
Part of the censorship that we all are confronting, I'm afraid, and is likely to be increasingly the case in government and certainly in the media like the Googles and the Facebooks and so on. Lord Pearson, I cannot tell you how much we appreciate your clarity and courage and your leadership across the pond, and we always appreciate the opportunity to interact with you on this side. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Next up, we'll speak with Michaela Dodge of the Heritage Foundation. We'll ask about some of the nuclear capabilities the North Koreans, among others, are aiming our way.